This morning, our scripture is found in the Gospel according to John in chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. And as we read this, let us be open to hear the word of God spoken to us. And this is what is written in the 12th chapter of John, beginning at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. As we consider our scripture, the focal point of this text is in the last verse. And this is what it says again. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we enter into this week of the Passion of our Christ, especially since today is Palm Sunday, I think it's important for us to focus on a theme for our text: blind faith. Blind faith. The French writer and poet Victor Hugo is probably more widely known for his most famous work, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. And yet he's also been credited with a quote that has become repeated over the years. He has been quoted as saying, "There is nothing in the world, this world, so powerful as an idea whose time has come." Nothing in this world is so powerful as an idea whose time has come. And while that may be true, how do we know when the time has come? Is there some alignment of things in the universe that sends a message to someone that says now is the time? Or are we simply dependent upon the transition of events that gives us a signal that is clear? Or are we like some of those in Jesus' day who were always looking for a sign? Or are we simply moving through life with blind faith, unaware of when something important is happening until the time has passed and we look back and see its truth? That seems to be the position of people found in our text today. They seem to be operating from a position of blind faith. The question is, which type of blind faith is being displayed? And what does it mean for us? When a scripture begins with the words, "the next day," the next day, as our text today does, I immediately began to wonder what was happening the previous day. What was going on? What were the circumstances that were happening? And whether or not there is a relationship between this day and that day. And between the previous day and the next day, as it appears in our text, according to John's gospel, there were some Jews who wanted to see Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. But while they wanted to see Lazarus, they were hatching a plot to kill Jesus because of his popularity. And they figured that if they were going to kill Jesus, then they might as well kill Lazarus too. Because Jesus had raised him from the dead, and because of that, more people were now following Jesus. That's when our text says, the next day. And it was the next day that the crowd heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. It was the next day that they took palm branches and went out to meet him. It was the next day that they shouted the words from the 118th Psalm, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Then Jesus found a donkey and sat on it to fulfill the words of the prophet Zechariah in the 9th chapter, which says, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. And as our scripture points out once again, and as always seems to be the case, the disciples were clueless. They were clueless about what was happening before the palm branches. They're clueless about what's happening in the midst of their present situation. While the people cheer and celebrate, the disciples are unaware that as they celebrate their beloved Jesus, that they're actually celebrating a dead man riding on a donkey. If they didn't know or understand on this day, then what are we to make of their faith? Was their faith blind? And what does that say about our faith? If our faith is blind, which type of blindness of faith do we suffer from? Is it the kind of blind faith that Jesus had? A faith that was blind to any and every distraction that would prevent him from completing God's mission of salvation for the world? The kind of blind faith that leads us to faithfully follow God, even if it means to consent to our own death? Or is our faith the kind of blind faith that the disciples had? One in which they were blind to everything that God was doing right before their very eyes and ours, where we and they were only able to see and believe what they wanted to see and believe. And I'm convinced that there's a truth within these words of Scripture that will tell us what kind of faith we have and whether we are blinded to something or blinded by something. Or maybe both. So hear the word of the Lord. Blind faith has the capacity to make us see things that aren't really there. It also has the ability to mislead people, influencing them to do what they believe is the right thing for all the wrong reasons. Writer T.S. Eliot once wrote, "The last act is the greatest treason, to do the right thing for the wrong reasons." Many times people will do that. They will do the right thing for the wrong reasons because of their blind faith. People will honor a coming dignitary with a parade if it is a traditional way of celebrating that dignitary's arrival, and will often raise something to the level of importance even if we don't really understand why we're doing it. people gather in large crowds to celebrate a dignitary, especially if that dignitary is a prominent figure whom they believe is going to be recognized or honored. Local football professionals show up at shopping malls, and large crowds show up to celebrate their presence. And perhaps there is no parade, but there is typically a large crowd when they show up. Large crowds show up at momentous occasions in the world of entertainment just to see who might be walking on the red carpet. I imagine that many people celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a parade in blind faith without really understanding who St. Patrick was. And so for many people, St. Patrick's Day has become to be one of those days, one of those blind faith days, when large crowds gather to celebrate a dignitary across this country and other parts of the world without really knowing why. For those who celebrate, it's become a day to honor that dignitary by wearing green or painting yourself Kelly Green and drinking green beer and other green beverages and doing all the things that have nothing to do with who St. Patrick is. Each year, people will gather to celebrate all the things Irish about St. Patrick. But I'd be willing to place a wager of small fries from McDonald's that while most people celebrate all things Irish on St. Patrick's Day, they do so without realizing that St. Patrick wasn't even Irish. He was born in either Scotland or Wales. That he was captured as a teenager and sold into slavery in Ireland. And only later, after fleeing to a monastery in England, did he become a devout Christian and was ordained a bishop. That he actually wore blue and not green, because green was considered unlucky. Or that St. Patrick's Day is celebrated on the 17th of March, not because it was his birthday, but because that was the day he died. Or the real killer. He was never officially canonized as a saint by the church, and his real name wasn't even Patrick. And yet, every year, people blindly look forward to celebrating St. Patrick's Day, at least in this country, by adorning themselves in green and drinking green beer and ale and acting in ways that don't actually revere his non-existent sainthood, but instead blindly seek to serve what people have come to believe he was about. And they do it in blind faith, celebrating the presumed reasons they have come to believe about a man's prominence in the world, whether it's true or not. It leaves me wondering if those who celebrated Jesus really knew the reasons for their celebration, or were they simply throwing a parade in blind faith for what they believed about him and his purpose for coming, unaware of his true purpose or who he really was. You see, brothers and sisters, if we are to understand anything about Jesus's entry into Jerusalem, it is that seeing is not necessarily believing. The people that were lining the parade route didn't actually understand what was going on. They didn't know that there was a plot being hatched to kill Jesus or Lazarus. They believed that years of oppression and exile were finally going to end because the time had come. They were probably pinning their hopes on the Jesus that would literally deliver Israel from their Roman oppressors and make their enemies their footstool. Clearly, their faith was blind because they couldn't see what God was doing right before their very eyes. Their faith was blinded by something. Their own selfish desires to finally be free from oppression and to have power, real power for what would have been a very long time. And at the same time, their faith had them blind to the act of salvation God was going to do through Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem. Their faith was a blind faith. They in some ways represent us. The disciples' faith, on the other hand, was blinded by their lack of understanding about who Jesus was and why he was entering Jerusalem, even though he had told them time and time again. They listened, but they didn't hear. They heard, but they didn't understand. They saw, but were blinded by what they wanted to see and not by what God was doing right before their eyes. Their blind faith also led them away from the wisdom Jesus tried to offer them into the dark valley of confusion about everything Jesus said to them, shared with them, and meant to them until after Jesus had been glorified. It was then, after he had been glorified, that the eyes of their faith were opened and they could see clearly. And it's no different with us. We stumble around in the darkness of our faith because we don't fully understand what Jesus' salvation means for us. Perhaps that's why Jesus later prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Maybe because after it was all over, Jesus recognized that our faith was blind to God's real purpose for sending Jesus into our world. We say we believe in Jesus, but not the Jesus who loves everyone. Some of us hold on to a blind faith about Jesus that says Jesus only loves those who look like us and act like us and think like we think. We've held on to a blind faith about Jesus that claims that God is on our side without actually trying to discern whether or not we're on God's side. We hold on to a blind faith that excludes people rather than includes people, that fails to make God's house a house of prayer for all people and not just for some people. We hold on to a blind faith because we want our understanding of God's will to be the one we have instead of continuing to seek so that we may find God's truth and knock on the door so that the door of God's wisdom and grace will be open to us. Instead, we hold on to a blind faith that says we know enough and that we understand enough and that we believe enough, when in reality, our faith remains blind to what God is doing right before our very eyes. And our faith continues to be a blind faith until we, in faith, can see and understand God's vision and understanding of Jesus Christ and his divine understanding of salvation. And so we find ourselves in a dilemma. We find ourselves living a faith that is sightless, or at least is visually impaired. As Paul said to the Corinthian church, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." We find ourselves unable to know what God is doing in the moment, blind to it because we're unable to discern it. We're blind to it because we cling so tightly to that which we can conceive and believe in our own minds, doing everything we can to have things our way instead of having things God's way. We find ourselves groping in the darkness of the present time, faith blind and unable to see what God is doing right before our very eyes. We find ourselves unable to discern God's will because we can't bring ourselves to live as faithfully as Jesus does, wide-eyed and trusting in God's faithfulness even to the point of death. We find ourselves unable to do what Jesus did and what Paul again admonishes us to do, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That was the blind faith that Christ had. He turned away from the world, choosing not to conform to it, and in doing so, his blind faith led him to discern God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for his life, which saved our lives. And that is our goal, friends. Not to live without blind faith, but to grow into having the kind of blind faith of Jesus Christ, a faith that believes and trusts in God's will, even to the point of becoming living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. It's that blind faith that identifies our willingness to suffer as Christ suffered. It's that blind faith that invites us to share in the same glory that Christ shared in. It's that blind faith of Christ that opens our eyes to the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's that blind faith that will eventually enable us to see clearly and not as though we were looking squinty-eyed through a mirror. It's that kind of blind faith that enables us to join with Christ in celebrating God's faithfulness, and that will enable us to stand before Christ as he looks at us and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. And come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's the kind of blind faith worth dying for today and living for forever. The Word of God for the people of God.